This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Mom and Dickie.
Amen, amen, amen. Over to you, Mommy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wilma. Good evening to the house. We bless amen. God for grace yes. and for sustaining us through this period of waiting on the Lord, the 3 days camp, and like joke, it has actually come to an end today. And as we are commemorating the Good Friday, so we want to appreciate God for enablement, for grace and strength that He has given us to be able to go through. Amen. Let me share my screen. Amen. I hope my screen can be seen. Can we all see my screen?
Yes, we can see your screen.
Yes.
So I will be sharing on the endless possibilities in the cross. In the next just 15-20 minutes, we'll just look at that. Throughout the beginning of this this wait in this Easter camp, we have seen the progression of what has been shared and what we have been meditating on through the day, from day one to today. It's all a reflection of what we get, what is the result of the cross, the result of what Christ has done, His death and His resurrection, and the impact of that. And these results that we get from the cross, it's interesting that we can get them nowhere. Nowhere else can we get this impact of the cross. We can't get them in the world. Or we can get something that seemingly may resemble it, whether it is the peace or the joy or fulfillment in life that we pursue in this world. It may seemingly look like we've gotten them, but if they are not gotten through the cross, through the finished work of the cross, and then those things are limited, so to say. They are limited. And so the cross today opens our eyes to see the great wealth of possibilities that we have in the Word of God. And unfortunately, we are not tapping half of that, and I wish I am tapping into half of that. But let's just look at a few things of the limitations that we have in this world. And I think it's because it's a reflection, because this sharing is more of a reflection, personal reflection. So you can make your own list of your own limitations, both physically and spiritually. What are the things that limits you? What are the things that limits you? And like I said, you make your own list, whether spiritually or physically. Just make your own list. Some of the few limitations that I highlighted here are not exclusive. They are a few of many, a few of many limitations that we have. And one of the biggest one that first came to mind is overcoming sin. As a spirit man, or as a man, regenerated man, one of the greatest quests is to overcome sin. First of all, before we are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, we have no clear consciousness of what sin is. But even as regenerated men, we struggle with sin. And so it's one of our main limitations to overcome sin. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." The common man, you and I, are not able to completely overcome sin. Without Christ and the work of the cross, sin remains a dominant factor in our life. It controls, its impact is felt absolutely in all of its complete form. Impact of sin is felt, and the impact of sin is dominant in our lives. And then eternal life. Eternal life is the ultimate thing when we look at, all of us look at our desire. It's the fact that we desire to have life everlasting. That's one of the greatest desire of the human soul, to have life everlasting, life that will never end nor finish. And without the cross, that limitation continue to exist. No man can have. There is death, and death has become a part of the human phenomena. No matter what happens, you're gonna die, and death means condemnation, and you know, going down to a, like they say, bottomless pit with no hope of redemption whatsoever. So that's death comes in. And then without the cross, we are limited in terms of true peace. We can never experience true peace. We are incapable of experiencing true peace, because in this world, the Bible says, we will have tribulations. So, and it is because of the work of the cross. That is why Christ said, "I have come to overcome the world," right? To overcome. And that because He has overcome, now we can have peace, right? But without Him overcoming the cross, without Him overcoming death, without Him, then there is no way we can attain true peace. And then there is love perfectly. And we can love, and we can experience love, and we can demonstrate love, but it will be the human kind of love, which clearly has its limitations, which is conditional, which is superficial, which is ingenuine, and even when it is genuine, it is not. It cannot go beyond death. It cannot go beyond death. It's just here in the realm of man. So that love is imperfect. But the cross kinds of changes that dynamics for us. So without the cross, we're incapable of doing that. And we're incapable of forgiving. And we're just not able to forgive. Bitterness, some bitterness, they really eat deep. And unless we see through the cross, then without the cross, we have no reference point for forgiveness in our lives. Nothing to reference, to say, okay, because, you know, there was this and that, now therefore I can forgive. But so the unforgiveness becomes the order of the day. It is normal not to forgive grievances. In fact, we call our responses to grievances and wrongdoing will be purely on our degree of perception of how bad it is, or how small it is, or how simple it, or how easy it was, and things like that. So there isn't anything like forgiveness. So that becomes a very, very huge limitation. And imagine a world without forgiveness. And what we are having right now is bad enough. That's without forgiveness. And once there is no forgiveness, all that is left is hatred and killing one another and hurting one another, because there is just no forgiveness. And then we are incapable of living a life without fear of death, because our eyes have not seen. Without the cross, our eyes have not been able to see beyond the realm of this life and the death that we know. And to many of us, death is the end, and that closes the chapter, and that is it. And that whatever you do, you know, it really doesn't matter. So that has become a gross limitation in humanity, and it will continue to remain so without the cross. But the cross came, and that changes everything. And now we see not only that death is being swallowed up in victory, but we see that there is life after death. The cross, the resurrection of Christ, reveals that to us. Amen. And we're now able to serve God joyfully. So these are just some of the few limitations that I highlighted. Like I say, you can make your own list, especially in your own personal life. What are some of the limitations you think without the cross you will not have gotten? Amen. Or you will have experienced, or you are still currently experiencing. But then we thank God because of the cross, and because of what happens in the cross, that has changed everything. It has changed everything. And a glimpse of a summary, a glimpse of some of these possibilities, this unlimited possibilities that the cross has brought to mankind, is summarized, in my opinion, in the Hebrews 11. That's the chapter that we know as the faith chapter. But when we look at it, that faith and all the things that happen, I just want to just focus on this few. I just want to focus on the few verses here, verse 29 through 38. Just this few verses, focusing on them, because it kind of summarizes the short points. But the longer story, the longer narration is in the rest of the verses. But just look at this few summary of the impact of the cross, the possibilities that are embedded in the cross, that we have in the cross of Christ. It says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, prostitute Rahab became, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel, the prophet, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sewed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. It touches every part. And then put this with the other verses from verses 3, 4, and all the way down to 29, all the incredible, miraculous things and experiences that people had in their walk of faith with the Lord. Now, many of them at that time experienced this power of resurrection in that dispensation, without actually encountering, without actually seeing the cross, the crucifixion, but when you look at when we move forward to the New Testament, and then you and I are the ones who actually have a reference point, now that our eyes are now open, not just by faith as an imaginary thing, but it has now actually happened, and we actually see it face to face, and we see the efficacy and the impact of these things, and now we can experience this, all of these miraculous things, shutting the mouths of lions, quenching the fury of the flames, and getting dead ones back to life, and then extending and refusing to deny the faith, even when you are in chain, even when you are being killed, you said, I am standing true to Jesus. Even when you are facing diverse trials and challenges, you have what it takes because of the cross. Endless possibilities because of the cross. Amen. And of course, every point that was a limitation to us have now become a possibility for us. Now we can overcome sin. Now we have eternal life. Whoever believes in him through the cross, whoever believes in the work of the cross, the redemption of sin in the cross of Christ, now we can experience peace in every circumstances of life. Now we can love others unconditionally because we have a reference point that there is a love that is being demonstrated for us on the cross. And now you and I can love others with the love of Christ, the agape love of Christ. We can forgive the unforgivable. And now the love of Christ compels us to forgive even when we are hurting. Even though sometimes it may take a process, it may take time to heal and to forgive, but we now have what it takes to forgive because we have received forgiveness from the cross. Now we can face fear of death boldly because we know that death is not the end. We in fact know that we have a promise, a sure promise, that just as Christ is risen, we are also risen with him. So death becomes no longer a finality of our existence, but it becomes just a transit into another realm of life. And so the fear of death, we can be free from the fear of death. And we can serve with joy, and not just with joy, but there is a purpose. And because we know that there is a call upon us that God has placed upon us, not just the call of the go ye therefore, and not just go ye therefore and make disciples, but there is a call that Jesus said, you know, just like I have served, I your master, do ye likewise. So now we can serve with purpose and we can serve with our whole heart because we know that there is a reflection of that in Christ and in his cross. And then now we have the capacity to bear fruits, which reflects the image and likeness of Christ. And now we can experience all kinds of miracles, either through ourselves or through others' prayers and impact in our lives. We can experience the miraculous. That means we can be sick and we can get asked for healing and experience it. We can walk and then we can experience a double multiplication of blessing upon the work of our hands, all embedded in the cross. And we can even go to a place that we do not know anybody, and people that we do not know will just get up and serve us and love us and provide for us all kinds of miraculous. And we can ask for things and situations to be reversed, and it will happen because of the cross. Because the power that was exerted in the cross has now been given to us directly, and we operate in that power. So we have endless possibilities through what happened more than 2,000 years ago that we commemorate today. The question is, when we leave Good Friday and we go about, just like our theme for the Easter season says, celebrating the risen Christ in me, are we experiencing or exercising, as some of the sharing said right from the first day to yesterday and today, are we exercising this new identity? Are we exercising these possibilities? And that's what I want us to pray about as we finish this exaltation. Let's just take, I know there's going to be, Mama Z is going to come to lead us in prayer, but before we head into that, let us just have a moment of just being genuinely thankful for these possibilities. And also saying, Lord, I repent for not maximizing the possibilities that you have given to me through the cross. And year in, year out, we commemorate it, but we are not living the fullness. We're not exercising the fullness of it, and then let's thank him for these possibilities that he has given us through the cross, completely. Nothing is overlooked, nothing. Everything is being dealt with, it's been taken care of, it's been provided for in the cross. On that day when Jesus said, "Tetelestai, it is finished," everything was included. Shall we pray? Let's begin to open our mouths and just begin to thank the Lord for the cross, for the finished work of the Calvary.
These
endless possibilities. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you for the work of the cross. The work of the cross is complete. It's fully complete. Oh, the work of the cross. It has paid it all. It has paid it all. It has paid for every limitation. It has removed every barrier. It has removed every hindrance. Oh, thank you for the cross. The cross has opened up doors for opportunities, spiritual opportunities, physical opportunities. The cross has opened doors for forgiveness. The cross has opened doors for enlightenment. Now our eyes are open to the truth. Now our eyes are open. Now we can experience the miraculous power of the working of the cross. That power that was exerted when Christ was raised, now we can experience it. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. And we repent where we have become complacent and stayed in our fears and our limitation, where we still remain, as it were, remain within our own bubbles of limitations. And we just come and cry and cry. And sometimes you are there looking at us and saying, "Children, what are you doing? See, I've given everything. It's already there. I've provided everything. What are you still doing? I've given it all." Father, Lord, we thank you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be.